And without any waste of time, I'll welcome the DG and hand over to her for the presentation. DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning. The presentation that we are going to do is, as the Chair has indicated, and it will be led by my colleague, Mr. John Makubele, and I will contribute as and when necessary, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the Select Committee. As to give you a background, that as proposed by our then Department of Foreign Affairs, they saw a need for South Africa to conclude the two treaties with Iran. And there were negotiations with Iran. But when we went into those negotiations, we were mindful of the situation in Iran, and not only in Iran, members of the Select Committee, a number of countries where the human rights situation is not in keeping or in line with our constitution, countries like China and other countries. And after the negotiation, and the former Minister Mwanda took office. When she took office, then the then Director General, and said to the minister that there is this agreement which has been negotiated. We should consider signing the agreement, the treaties. And approval was sought from the then president, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, and approval was granted. I was part of the team of Minister Mwanda in 2004, which went into Iran as to conclude, to sign the two treaties. And before we went into signing of the treaties, we had a briefing with the then ambassador, I don't recall his name, but the ambassador then in 2004 of South Africa, and who then also impressed the need that we should go ahead with the signing of the two treaties. Indeed, the two treaties were signed by Minister Mwanda and her counterpart in Iran. Then coming back to South Africa, we're supposed to embark on the process of ratifying the two treaties. Perhaps I think that's where the issue lies, insofar as the delays are concerned, because you talk about having signed 2004 to date. It's really quite a long period. But the Office of the Director General then, through the assistance of our Directorate International Affairs, we did a memorandum for the ratification, but some years down the line, we had a problem that it seems without perhaps thinking for the then Minister, it seems there was a second thought about these two treaties, because we kept on asking, where is the memorandum which must then take the process to cabinet for some time. Then, until such time that Iran then concluded their internal procedures for the two treaties to come into force, were behind, and we kept on knocking at the door. And unfortunately, then at the last moment, I think it could have been 2008 or so, then we're told that the memorandum to Parliament was lost without trace. Then in 2009, the current minister came in, we resuscitated the matter. Then the minister was given a background as to the delays, and by then he approved that we should go ahead, because already Iran has undertaken its internal procedures. So, in short, that is the situation. And talking about the treaty on extradition itself, there is a safeguard given the human rights situation in Iran, that in case a national of South Africa were to be extradited to Iran, and we cannot turn them over if there's a possibility that he or she will be given a death penalty, not unless there is an assurance from Iran, like we do so far as other states with which we conclude this extradition treaties. And mutual legal assistance, it's about assistance in obtaining evidence, as well as surrender of forfeited property, which is the instrumentality of the commission of crime. And that is kept, is preserved until the case is concluded. Then it is decided as to whether what will become of that property, whether it should be returned permanently to the requesting state. Then there's been a question that's been asked for some time by this committee, the issue of costs. As the nature of these treaties, in terms of costs, the requested state is the one which bears costs. But then costs insofar as investigation, assistance for investigation, as well as the obtaining of evidence, they can be huge. And there's a building provision that in case we reach that point, then the two, the requested state and the requesting state, will have to discuss as to how to share the costs. Chairperson, in short, that's the background as well as the issues pertaining to the two treaties.
Thank you very much. Another member, you can engage with the presentation, the Order Commissioner, Mr. Joseph Honorable Zip. And before that, there was a presentation, I think it was on Tuesday, from the department regarding these conventions. And they indicated to us that in that particular one, South Africa made commitment in 1995, but it was only completed now. You were saying this one, the process started in 2004. What causes these delays, or is it the acceptable way of dealing with them? I understand it is between countries, but is it the acceptable way of dealing with them? Commissioner?
Chairperson, you covered me on the first question. Now, two, the document signed by Minister Mavanja said it went missing. Is there any way where we can get, yeah, because, you know, this treaties, I'm sure there are some catch-ups somewhere, but, you know, if we could get a documentary where, I'm sure that time will be minutes, and then we get something to show that it was proved. We wouldn't mind about that man to see the thing, but the minutes with the procedure that time, if it can be produced. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want some points of clarity. I just want to know what, in the view of the department, what is the human rights status in Iran at the moment, based on how South Africa is party to the international Commonwealth states, United Nations, you know, those international organizations that have high status. What is their view? Because we are party to those organizations. What is their view on Iran, per se? And would we not enter into agreements that would backfire on South Africa, that these other international organizations would tell us, you know, you're not doing the right thing? So I think we also need to make sure that we stay in line with these United Nations and the Commonwealth and all other international organizations. But I would like to know what the official is meaning when he says the internal procedures of Iran, which I understand there was some negotiations, some talks. What is meant by the internal procedures? And I would like to know, is there a consulate, is there office of South Africa now in Iran? So if that is there, that means there is some form of recognition of the existence and what they are doing, but there are still issues that we are not happy with in terms of human rights. So, I mean, we will not be there if we are totally in disagreement with what the country is doing. We may disagree with many things, but otherwise we must recall our ambassadors, we must, or our consulates, if we're not entirely not happy with what is going on there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, my first question for clarification is about the memorandum of understanding. I could not hear, is there a memorandum of understanding? Because the presenter was saying that that thing is still outstanding. That's the first one. It's a clarity on that one. The second one, Chairperson, on page 17 of this document, I see that there is a case quoted here, the Constitutional Court, in which year is that case, so that we must know what. Thank you very much. That's, maybe I will have follow up questions. Thanks, Chair.
You can respond.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think on most of the questions of detail, Mr. Makubele will respond. But let me just speak to the first question of the Chair and the Honourable Member, Mr. McVeigh. It is not a standard that it takes this long for us to submit to Parliament for consideration a treaty. It should not have happened, it should not happen, but it has happened. Procedurally, we ought to do it as soon as possible after it has been signed. Naturally, I think under these circumstances, it did not happen as soon as possible. What we've since done, and I am probably speaking a little ahead of myself, given the fact that the matter has been discussed by FOSAT, which is the forum of the Directors General in South Africa. It was discussed this Monday, the Monday that we are Friday off, that we have to find a different mechanism of how to deal with international instruments, treaties, agreements, country reports, and the like. They have since, if I say they, I mean me included, we've since done a research of all treaties that we are supposed to have acceded to as a country. We've compiled them into a document format, including all our country responsibilities in terms of country agreements and all of that. We had a meeting to discuss the tragedy of us not having acted on these issues, not just the Department of Justice, but all of us as directors general. We then concluded that that's the report we are going to submit to Cabinet, but before we do that, we need to then come up with an action plan of how we are going to address this deficiency in our work. Yesterday, we then met here in Cape Town with Directors General in my cluster, which is the JCPS cluster, to look at our own obligations in light of the total population of all the outstandings. And we will be finalizing our own plan as the JCPS cluster, which will then go into the main plan of government so that we are able to track them. As a department, what we are going to be doing, which is work in progress, but we have not finalized, but what we are going to be doing is we are going to be pulling all of these responsibilities as having been researched and identified, put them into an electronic system that will almost serve as an early warning for us on responsibilities that are now becoming due, and then monitor our own capacity based on that. So that is just in between now and in the medium term. We are also going to be procuring capacity to assist us because we just literally do not have capacity to deal with international obligations of this magnitude. I mean, it is quite correct that we have a covenant that was signed in 1994 that we have not finalized. So it is correct, but when we look at the capacity that must go behind ensuring that we comply with that, we realize that we do not have that capacity. So we must go to the, call it market first, and I don't mean the market in the true sense of the word, because we don't want these things to be influenced too much by the people other than people who understand the policy environment. We are going to be going to those who can assist us, procure that capacity, bring it into the department as quickly as possible to be able to try and address that one in particular, but the whole population in the medium to long term. Chair, we do regret the fact that we have not done this work. We regret that fact terribly. We can't apologize enough, but I don't think apologies are needed. What is needed is how do we get ourselves out of this quagmire, and we intend doing so and reporting to Parliament as soon. Internally in the department, we've agreed that we are going to monitor this on a monthly basis and report at least on a quarterly basis to the JCPS cluster, and we intend to commit to that arrangement, Chairperson. With respect to the signed agreement that was lost, it wasn't a signed agreement necessarily, but it was just an internal memorandum that went to the minister. What I think ought to have happened, of course, it's just with the benefit of hindsight now, what ought to have happened was that we ought to have followed up a little more aggressively, and we didn't internally. So our own internal systems failed us in terms of us not being able to follow up regularly and as intensely as we ought to. So that is the first issue. The second issue is that it's easier to sit here and say we suspect, maybe there was a change of heart and all of those things. We don't know, as a matter of fact. It's just our own interpretation of why the agreement was not signed. So I even though we raised this issue, I don't want us to take it too seriously because we don't have facts as to whether there was or wasn't a change of heart. If there was a change of heart, we wouldn't be here because then we wouldn't be asking for the approval by this Honourable House. My view is that our system collapsed on ensuring that this treaty was signed, and what we are appealing to your understanding and for is to give us a little bit of time to activate our systems and just to ensure that going forward we do not suffer the same fate that we have suffered over the period. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Director General.
Chair, the DG has answered some of the questions. The issue of memorandum of understanding, clarity, is just an internal memo which was prepared for Minister Mavanda. Then we'll get the documents as requested, package all the internal documents regarding this ratification. As to how Iran is considered by organizations such as the United Nations, the Commonwealth. Of course, I mean, topical, as we are speaking, the UN Security Council has a problem with Iran insofar as the nuclear program and all other issues. However, my Director General and I have just had a meeting with the Director General of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, as well as the Chair of the Human Rights Commission. Among the issues spoken about, it was about, it gave us an insight regarding the issue of where do we stand insofar as Iran is concerned. And what we have heard, and this has been the position, even when we went to Iran in 2004, meeting the ambassador there, that there's been a renewed relationship between Iran and South Africa, and even current, as we're speaking. Well, of course, taking into account all the concerns around Iran as such. So, yes, there are organizations which are worried. There are countries which are worried regarding Iran. But insofar as our relationship with Iran, as informed by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, I think it's on a sound footing. And again, I think what we're doing as a country is also to assist Iran to come out of that problem as such within what we call South and South Cooperation. It was Iran is part of the developing countries, and we do assist. And Iran, there's a full embassy in Iran. And that's the ambassador we met in 2004. I just forgot his name. There's a full embassy when we went. About internal procedures, as already explained by the Director General, is that once treaties have been signed, we then do an internal memorandum to the minister. As for the minister to approve that, then we approach Parliament for ratification. And that part, the DG has explained that, and correctly so, bear with me, it might have been my own personal view, the DG is correct. There was nothing untoward, factual, insofar as the then ministry is concerned. That's why we are here to make the appeal that given those challenges, we are addressing those challenges. Coming to the other issue the Chair raised, the information that you got that the negotiations of these treaties were date back to 1995, but according to our records, that was in 2003 when we had the then former Minister Maduna. Then when he exited, then the treaties were supposed to be signed. Hence, Minister Mwanda took over insofar as the signing, and also to attend to the issue of ratification. But the beginning of this, the negotiation started in 2003 during the time of former Minister Madun. Thank you.
Just one question which relates to the internal procedures in Iran. I thought that was the question as to what do we mean by the internal procedures in Iran. Similar to us, they would have had to go through their own internal processes to ensure that the treaty is approved by their parliament or whatever other processes they follow if they are not the same processes as we follow. And the point that was raised earlier was the fact that they had already done all that. Iran has already done all that, and we were then falling far behind. And so if we were requested for a mutual legal assistance or extradition, we would not be able to reciprocate, given the fact that we have not undertaken the responsibilities that we ought to have undertaken as a country. So that's what I thought.
A follow-up. You see, Chairperson, I'm very much happy that Mr. Makubela have responded to this. He is saying that the United Nations Security Council is having a problem with Iran, and we as a country don't have a concerns or a problem with that. It's a very serious issue to me. It's a very serious issue to me that we must rectify a treaty here, and the United Nations Security Council. There's human rights violations, and this is an old treaty. I think that we as a committee chair must debate this thing. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. To the extent that South Africa is the member of the UN, we, as a country, we have obligations to address these issues within the UN environment. But we also have an obligation to address these issues on a country-to-country environment as well. We recognize the fact that the UN, in particular the UN Security Council, has raised some concerns with Iran, and it's an issue that concerns us as well. And as a starting point, Chair, I apologize. To the extent that we have to assist at a country-to-country level, we can only do so if we are participants to the process. We have not been given a specific mandate at a country level that we are no longer doing any business with Iran. To the contrary, as Mr. Makubela is indicating, we were given an assurance by the Director General, who is responsible for international relations and cooperation in South Africa, that we do have a relationship with Iran, and we do have to ensure that we honour our part of the bargain. We are, as a country, guided by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and to the extent that there are things that may be inconsistent with the Constitution, that will concern us very greatly. It does concern us very greatly. But as Mr. Makubela said in his opening background, he did say that the treaty does provide for some safeguards. The safeguards may not be 100%, but it does provide for some safeguards for us to be able to ask for certain assurances if our citizens were to be requested to be extradited to Iran. There are safeguards in the treaty, and we are doing that with other countries as well. It's not just Iran that we are concerned about in the same way as I think the Honourable Member is raising. So it's a matter that I think will take time, Chair. In fact, if I were to digress just very briefly, last year sometime we participated I can't remember the country, in a conference, and we sent a member of our judiciary and prosecution as well to a conference which deals with the, or whose purpose was to address in that country the issue of the death penalty and how that country should start moving away from the death penalty. It takes time for these things to happen, and we do participate in those environments. And the reason why we participate in those environments is because we want to help as many people as possible to see that the death penalty is no longer relevant in this day and age. So, we welcome the committee to debate the issue, and that will, of course, guide us a lot. But we have not been given a mandate to go differently. We've been given a mandate to conclude the treaty. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the information. I just want to maybe bring the issue closer home then, besides the United Nations and other international organizations. What is the SADC and the AU closer home in Africa? What is the position and what is the sentiments at the moment? It will guide us as well.
It really would be presumptuous of me to give that response specifically, and so if you could bear with me, I'm not trying to be evasive or anything like that. But we play a very significant role in both SADC and AU, and we would have known if the situation was such that we are instructed, whether directly or implicitly, and not to be able to deal with Iran at all. I'm sure we would have known, because we play, as I say, not just a role, but a very significant role in those two organs. So to the extent that I am aware, and Chair, I remain to and I seek your indulgence to go back and check this issue specifically, but to the extent that I'm aware as I sit here, I am not aware that we have a mandate different from the current mandate I've already articulated. We participate in SADC. SADC has some relations in one way or the other with Iran. The AU has some relations in one way or the other with Iran, or at least if they don't, they have not said we shall not have any relations whatsoever. So, but I do recognize the point, and I do say it's a matter that we will find out, and we will then, in writing, advise the Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable members, we're having another meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. And seeing that we are not forming a quorum, we'll approve this one on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Week after next.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, DG and Mr. Mukubila. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.